Coming up, a wonderful, whimsical book about a serious matter with author and columnist Mindy Blumenfeld. Welcome to 613 Books Podcast. I'm your host, Heather Dean. And if you'd like to read a variety of books with authentic Jewish values, we read you loud and clear. My guest on this episode of 613 Books Podcast is Mindy Blumenfeld. Mindy is a popular writer, speaker, and therapist who connects with thousands of people through her work. You may have heard of her book, Therapy Schmerapy, an entertaining and thought-provoking collection of essays which was published in 2017. And now I'm delighted to speak with Mindy about her next project, a wonderful new book called Hillel and the Paper Menchies. Through the whimsical illustrations and bold visuals of the talented and popular artist Mark Loomer, this book encourages children to harness their creativity, resilience, and faith to overcome adversity. Welcome, Mindy Blumenfeld, to 613 Books Podcast.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here. Thank you so much.
I'm really excited to talk about your new book. But before we discuss the new book, tell us a bit about your son, Hillel, of blessed memory, who is the inspiration for this book.
Yeah, thank you for asking. So the truth is, Hillel is pretty similar to the Hillel in the book. You know, as a young kid, he was like this smart, mischievous, full of life, fun-loving kind of kid who loved socializing and being with his friends. He loved learning in school. He was always like doing extra learning and writing his stories and busy like making carnivals on the street. And he was like always engaged and involved in life in a really real, fun, powerful way. He was really a fun kid. Like he was fun to have around. He had a good sense of humor. He liked to think about things. And as he got older, maybe he got a little bit more serious, but he still had that fun-loving streak inside of him. But yet, he also had this very interesting good part of him. I'll tell you the truth is that like I just recently found in his drawer this entire long list of like things that he had done wrong throughout the year.
Oh, my.
He wrote it when he was like 11 years old. And it was on the list with stuff like, I didn't talk nicely to Pastora, who was our cleaning lady at that time.
Oh,
he goes, you know, I said no when the Rebbe asked me to learn with this kid because, and I know that that kid was like more of like a slower kind of kid and he had no patience. And then like he had another whole list of guys. He says, things I did good this year. And then he says, I gave tzedakah, charity. I learned extra. I did errands for my mother Fridays. Like he wrote like a whole list of good things. So he was like a really balanced kind of kid.
I'm sorry, I don't know the exact date that he passed away, but obviously it sounds like there has been a distance of some time. But just, wow, you know.
Yeah, he was 6 when he was diagnosed, 16 when he passed, and now it's 6 years later.
And you just found this incredible notes that he wrote down.
Yeah, because like I have his room, but there's always like tons of more things, like different things in his room. So yeah, right. I just found it like a few months ago.
So in the opening of Hillel and the Paper Menchies, we immediately like Hillel for his playfulness and creativity. And not long into the book, we learn that Hillel has a serious illness. And while the prospect of a serious illness would fill almost anyone with dread, the words and pictures in your book ease us into the next rather serious chapter of Hillel's life, not to mention his whole family's life. So I'm wondering if you could tell us about how you managed to fashion for your readers, especially for children who might be quite sensitive about illness and hospitals, the rather sudden journey into a life with illness as a constant companion.
Yeah, Heather, I'm so glad you asked this question because I'll tell you the truth. I don't know if you know, but I'm also a therapist. I work with parents, not children. I work with parents of children and teens and adults. And this is what I really want to explain before like I talk about the book, is that when you're saying it would take anyone, you know, any child would have a hard time with this, or it would be so scary for any child or something to that effect. So my answer to that is like, actually, no. Children really are only as afraid as their parents are. So if you're asking as me as a parent, how did I transition? That's one question. But if you're asking about a child and you're saying, how did the child transition? Or when children read these books, they can get scared. And the answer is actually not really, because children really only are as afraid as their parents are. All of life is really viewed through a parent's eyes when a child is young. So I need to tell you that, you know, for Hillel, whatever was going on for him then as a child was really no different than any of the regular stuff that goes on for any child. They fall down, they skin their knee, and they have to get their yearly shots and inoculations, and they, you know, need to be jabbed. Or even kids that break a hand. It's just regular life. It just is what it is. So it doesn't become any scarier than the parents make it. So even though when I got the diagnosis, it's like, oh, wow, this is a pretty big thing. But in a sense, right now, he was fine. Right now, this is okay. What's going to happen today? We'll deal with today. What's going to happen tomorrow? We'll deal with tomorrow. But it wasn't fearful because right now he was okay. And then when the doctor came and I saw the doctor, I said, oh, I like this guy. So then again, you know, it's okay. He'll do what he has to do. And Hill kind of like really took that from us. I mean, it wasn't hard for me to envision this book. And that's why I loved working with Mark Loomer, because I specifically chose him because for anyone that knows Mark Loomer's books, which are amazing, they're all like these whimsical, fun, cartoon-like characters, colorful and rambunctious characters, and just a lot of life and fun and personality in his illustrations. And that's what I felt really was Hill was all about, and even his journey. That's the honest truth. So when he was in the hospital, we really had a good time. We played tons of games. He was zipping around in his wheelchair, talking to all his therapists. He was like getting tons of presents, and he was so excited about them. I know it sounds a little funny, but in a pediatric ward for rehabilitation, it was really like camp. There was like all kinds of magicians that came, all kinds of presents that they were giving out. There was just a lot of kids all around with their parents, and everyone's like really like just chilled and, you know, schmoozing, and the kids played together, and they had all kinds of like extracurricular activities coming, like not night activities, but day activities, like the clown coming and different kind of events that were happening. And the whole hospital ward, if anyone's been there knows, it's very child oriented. It's nicely done. And there's a lot of toys and books and a game room. And, you know, so except for the fact that kids might be walking around in wheelchairs or in IV poles, the atmosphere is very cheerful and the nurses are cheerful. So it's just like a cheerful kind of atmosphere. So when you ask me about the serious dark part, really, there was no serious dark part. So it wasn't hard to show that in the book, because he was diagnosed with cancer. And like, yeah, he got a little bit sad and mad and, you know, worried, sure. But no different than a kid who breaks his hand. No different than a kid who has to go for his yearly shot and is dreading it for the week beforehand or even just the day that he goes. No different from a kid who's like dreading going to school because he has a test. It didn't feel that much different because I guess as parents with faith, it was just like Hashem gave this to us. We're going to be okay. And whatever will be, it will be okay.
Wow. Amazing. Amazing. Just a couple of things. Which hospital are you talking about? Because not every hospital has the nurses in pink and the camp-like atmosphere. I'd love to know which hospital.
So I definitely have been in quite a number of hospitals. So in the United States, I would say that all the major hospitals that are dealing with this kind of thing has that kind of atmosphere at this point, for sure. I mean, even the MRIs where we are, you know, in all the major hospitals around the United States, let's say, for example, would have videos in the MRIs that when kids have an MRI, they're actually able to watch a video or listen to music when they're there.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's a very cheerful place.
Amazing.
Yeah.
I'm also glad that you bring up Mark Loomer, because you associated the word life. His illustrations are so full of life. Even just visiting his website is like going to an art gallery. And just that, before purchasing anything, is so life-giving and so fun. Candy for the eyes, Mark Loomer's work.
Yes. Yeah.
And one of the lessons of Hillel and the Menshees is to be flexible in life. And for example, in the book, Hillel missed out on the kind of summer vacation that typical children enjoy. So he has what he calls summer vacation in the fall. So can you tell us a bit about Hillel's learning to be flexible and accepting that one's life is different from most others?
Honestly, I don't know if Hillel felt that his life was that different. I think he maybe felt that at that point he was going through something that was different. So when we were in the hospital, for example, and all his friends like were in day camp and having fun by the swimming pool, yeah, like he was like, oh, this is like not fair. Like, I don't want to be in a hospital. But on the other hand, he really had a lot of fun. You know, years later, I wrote for Being a Magazine, and I entitled the article called I Love Hospitals, describing just really how pleasant and nice the hospital stay was. And people really had a very bad reaction to that. Like people like were really horrified. And then Hillel said, I'm going to write what I think. He was like about 11 years old. People think hospitals are scary, he says, but not for me. And then he went on to describe just really like all the fun that he had there. He says, you know, I played games with my mother all the time. We relaxed. There was no pressure of school or a day camp. He says, I had like a little black wheelchair that I didn't even let my cousins play with because only I was allowed to, you know, zoom around in it. And he goes, I got so many presents and my grandfather gave me $100, you know, and he really just wrote like just all the fun things that he did over there. And it was just interesting from his perspective, like really what it was like for him, because yeah, it was something that he was able to look at. And he, I don't know if he wrote it in the article, but he knew that he was spoiled because of that. I mean, he wasn't spoiled, but we spoiled him. He knew that he could like get away with things. Like he knew that, for example, even in school, like he was very well aware that if the kids got into trouble and he was part of it, that he was the one that kid that would get away with it. And he would laugh when he came home and would tell me that. So he would like say, Ma, yeah, like they're not going to do anything to me because like I had cancer. So he was just very funny about that.
I was just going to say, I remember the time that was published. So you had had a certain backlash initially with your I Love Hospitals essay. So what was the response when his piece was published?
I don't think there's any response after that. You know, after that, all throughout his journey, I actually wrote many, many articles about Hillel. Yes. Like I wrote tons of articles, you know, all throughout. And then after he was NIFTER, I continue writing many, many articles. And somehow something shifted that people really found tremendous amount of comfort reading all those articles. So I think maybe that I Love Hospitals was the first of its kind. Like no one had ever been able to write and to say, this is the challenge that we're going through. There's a different way to look at it. There's just a different way to see it. And I think that whatever came after was that people just said, oh, wow, like there is a different. I know even people today, like they keep asking me for articles about Hillel and they say, it's such a comfort. It was such a comfort to read. It was such a comfort to see how there's a different way of looking at things, how happy Hillel was, how you were okay. It just like gives so much strength and comfort to realize that that's what it's like. I even remember like, when he was first diagnosed and everyone starts giving us these miracle stories. And I remember telling my husband, I said, I'm really not interested in those miracle stories. The miracle story that I want to hear is not about the mother who had a child with cancer and who survived and went on to get married and have a billion kids. I said, the miracle story that I want to read about is the mother and the family that had a child with cancer. And no matter what happened, they were happy and loved life and lived life. That's the kind of story I want to know about. And you know, I think that was our attitude all throughout. And I think Hillel felt that because this was all he knew. So his life felt good for what it was. Like he just had a wonderful life.
Right. That dovetails with the actual definition of emunah, which is such a beautiful point that you're sharing. I appreciate that. I'd like to get back to the book because we have Hillel's Menchies. So tell us a bit about how Hillel's Menchies came into the picture. Like what inspired the idea of actual Menchies that were Hillel's Menchies?
Yeah, this is like just such a random thing. Hillel was like that summer before he was diagnosed, he was just like feeling like kind of achy and under the weather. And he just wasn't himself. And I used to read him hundreds of books. So what happened was he just didn't have patience to look at picture books. So I don't know like what fell into my head. I had once read maybe like, I don't know, about telling stories instead of reading stories. And I just told Hillel, do you want to hear a story? And in my mind, like literally came alive in my head, a set of four like quadruplets in my mind. And their names just kind of like rolled off my mouth, like Hilly, Pilly, Shimmy, and Shmaya. Like they just like literally sprang up like fully formed. And these were the stories that I told him while he was in the hospital, and every day he would beg, Mommy, tell me a Hilly, Pilly, Shimmy, and Shmaya story. And they really took center stage that when he had to do 33 rounds of radiation alone in a room And I was not allowed to come into the room with him. And he was 6 years old. And he was the first child ever in that hospital that had ever done radiation treatment without being under anesthesia at that young age. So what happened was, is that I was outside and I was at the technician's desk with the mic. And what I did was I literally every day for those 33 days, I entertained him with a story about Hilly Pilly Shimmy and Shmaya, like for about 45 minutes to an hour until he was done. And it was like one long story. And like I said in the book, those stories actually kept him just lying really flat and really still and not moving while he concentrated on the story. And he just couldn't wait for those stories. He'd go, Ma, get out of the room already. I want to hear the story. So like they would strap him on, make him comfortable. And then like he said, Ma, get out already. I want to hear the story. And he loved it. And that's how it really happened. When he went into remission at that time, I created like a book, you know, journaling his experiences, like as a way of like getting him to process it. And years later, when I approached Mark and said, I want to take this book and I wanted to illustrate it, I want all children who are going through challenges to find a way to process their journeys. Like he said, Mindy, can we do something a little different? Are you married to this book? And I said, no, give me ideas. And he said, you know, these quadruplets you have in here, which in the, my original journal literally was like a line or two in Hillel's book. He goes, that's your story, he says. There's your story. And in a sense, it was Hillel's story because Mark was amazing that he had said, let's call them the paper menschies, because I envisioned them as cutouts. And he said, you know, like who are menschies? And we called them the paper menschies. And that's how they became like the focus of this book, because they really were what got Hillel through, you know, until he went into remission, all those stories about Hilly Pilly, Shimmy, and Shmaya.
Wow. This is an amazing collaboration, these ideas that feed off of each other, and it's art and life. Beautiful. Mindy, you have more Hillel magic to share with readers. So tell us about the Hillel series book and the soon to be published memoir on Hillel's remarkable life.
Actually, so the Hillel series was actually published in Bina Magazine like over 3 years. It was like just different articles. And I've gotten many, many requests for more of the Hillel series. And there's actually one seminary and a few high school teachers that have actually asked for the entire thing so they could use it as part of their text to teach their students. The literature teacher wanted to use it as Judaica, and the seminary actually wanted to use it, like I think around Aseret Yemei Tshuva, as something like together with the Tzava that he wrote, in which he said what he wanted after his death, where he wanted to give it money, how he wanted to just be remembered, and just different things that he had written in his Tzavas. They wanted to, you know, just have that all together. So since then, I've been really writing new articles for the Hillel series that I haven't published yet. And Emet Hashem, as soon as I have a little bit of time, I'm going to just put it all into a book with all the new material, including the articles that not necessarily were part of the Hillel series, but just I had written about Hillel all throughout. So I have like definitely a, you know, a few hundred page book coming out, which will be the Hillel series and all the other articles that I had written from a mother's perspective about Hillel and our journey.
Right.
So that's the Hillel series. And I'm really excited about that. But that's actually be the third book that I'm putting out. The second one that I'm almost near the end, and I hope it'll be out soon. That will be a memoir about Hillel. In the same way that the Hillel and the Paper Menschies, I wanted to give this kind of book to younger children, like between the ages of 5 to 11, to read on their own. And then it can be read to younger children. And older children will definitely enjoy it tremendously because it has a lot of layers of depth that older children will really, really enjoy. So I wanted for the older set, like high school and young adults, I wanted another book for them in which, again, they could like find their own resilience and strength to overcome their own challenges, whatever their challenges are. So kind of marketing is a teen book for teens and young adults. And that will be a memoir about Hillel, about his life. And it'll be in a story form. It doesn't sound like a biography. It'll read more like a novel. And it's really, again, about him. But the mindset of like that any teenager and young adult can relate to him at the different stages of his life with his resilience, his humor, his ability to be serious and introspective at the same time to embrace life. And of course, in both of these books, his faith comes through very strongly as well. He had a very strong faith in Hashem and a deep connection in his davening to Hashem. You know, he was really very strong with that as well. I remember like when I was sitting at his hospital bed, like when he was just newly diagnosed, it was on a Friday. He was diagnosed Friday morning. Friday night, he tells me, he goes, why aren't you saying Tehillim for me? You know, like,
oh my goodness.
And he was 6 years old. It's like, what's going on here? You know?
Wow.
And then I'll tell you the truth is that years later, you know, I remember one of his rabbeim told me the story that he was in camp and he was about then like 14 years old. And he was like saying Tehillim. And the Rebbe said, oh, Hillel, who are you saying Tehillim for? And he said, myself. So, you know, so that was like from 6 to 14, he was really always connected with Hashem. And
wow.
Yeah. So that's the memoir. And the memoir, Me'at Hashem, I hope to have out, you know, much sooner. That will come out really soon, right after Hillel the Paper Menchies, that will be coming out. So yeah, these are all the books that I hope to bring out, you know, to help other people and to do something in his memory.
That's just so incredible. You know, you've been a writer for such a long time. And with this circumstance that has come up and your family's gone through, Hillel of Blessed Memory went through, I just cannot imagine that you would see this as something that would be part of your future, you know, when you first got married and started having children. And this has become a part of, I guess, a life's mission. Does that make any sense? Is that like close to the truth that this is, it's definitely a new purpose in life?
I wouldn't say it's a life's mission. And I'll tell you why, because I feel that all my children, the living ones,
yes,
you know, and grandchildren, and the work that I do with my clients and my writing work, in all the ways that I have expanded my life to help other people and for the people that are important to me, I feel all of it is part of my life's mission. So I don't know if I'd want to like limit that to Hillel, because the living are just as important to me.
Yes.
So I've never like gotten stuck in that grief, or it's much more has been transformed into living and into life. So I guess as a therapist, like what I'll say is that I call this post-traumatic growth, that when we go through a challenge, it's not simply that we just want to get through it in order to get back to the equilibrium or the homeostasis we had before the challenge happened, but rather we want that post-traumatic growth, that something even greater and more beautiful and magnificent happens after. So when I'm writing these books, while it's true that I want to commemorate his memory, you know, and Lila Nishmas Hillel, absolutely, but it wouldn't be enough to just write a book about Hillel. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't be enough for me and just like his name to be remembered. It feels much more powerful to use him rather as a vehicle to help other people. That feels more important to me, that simply that he be remembered. It's more important that something is accomplished as a result of his life.
Yes.
So that's the life's mission,
right,
that I want to use what I have learned and what he's taught me in order to do something greater in this world as a result in all areas, how I'm a better therapist, how I'm a better mother, I'm a better grandmother, I'm a better wife, I'm a better person, you know, because of who he was in my life and what we went through together with him and our whole family.
Incredible. I really, really appreciate that you took the time to speak with me about Hillel and the Paper Menchies and everything else that you're doing, and such an honest conversation. I so appreciate it, and I'm sure our listeners do as well. Thank you so much, Mindy Blumenfeld, for joining me on 613 Books Podcast.
Yes, Heather, thank you so much for having me. And to me, I'm so glad for the opportunity to reach out to all you book lovers out there and to tell you about my books and to make you part of this wonderful piece of my life. Thank you.
To contact Mindy Blumenfeld or to purchase your copy of Hillel and the Paper Menchies, as well as her other books, or to invite Mindy to speak to your community or organization, head over to the show notes for this week's episode. Also in the show notes, check out Mark Loomer's other incredible illustrated works, as well as his contact information. And that's what's on the shelf for this episode of 613 Books Podcast. I'm Heather Dean. Thanks for listening.
613 Books Podcast is produced and hosted by Heather Dean. Senior producer and director of operations, Greg Cohen. Consulting producer, Iska Roth. Show announcer, Michael Doniger. Remember to like and subscribe to our show on your favorite app, whether it's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or your own preferred app, and never miss an episode. You can find all episodes of 613 Books podcast by visiting our website, heatherdeanproductions.com.